You're listening to Health Savvy You, where understanding health starts with you. I'm Dr. Navjot Butter, a dental surgeon, health communication epidemiologist, and your friend on the journey to better health literacy. In every episode, I break down complex health info, teach you how to spot fake health tips, and share practical tools to help you think clearly, ask smarter questions, and make confident health choices. Keep listening, because becoming healthier shouldn't feel out of reach. It should feel empowering.
Welcome and welcome back to Health Savvy. I'm so glad you're here with me for another chapter in our series, How Health Science Works. Every episode in this module has brought us a little closer to understanding how knowledge about our bodies is actually made, tested, challenged, corrected, and refined. And today, we're stepping into a topic that lives at the crossroads of nostalgia, culture, and science. So many health conversations online boil down to one big claim, that modern science is somehow making us sick, while ancient or natural remedies were the real secrets to long, healthy life. I see so many posts online claiming herbs over pills, or our ancestors were healthier, or science is corrupted. And you might have too. But is there any truth to such posts and claims? Or are we comparing two very different worlds with very different problems? I am no stranger to grandmom's health recipes. Throughout my life in India, my most distinguishing, memorable feature was constant sneezing. I was basically a walking dust detector, and one tiny shift in temperature or a whiff of dust, and I'd be off sneezing dozens of times in a row, clutching a Vicks inhaler like it was my survival tool. My nanny made me a special powder to eat every day, which had ingredients like almonds, poppy seeds, black pepper, all ground together. It didn't cure me, but it helped, slowly, gently. And it felt like her love in a teaspoon. I'm sure many of us have similar stories, our grandmother's turmeric milk, honey ginger potions, and steam bowls that made the whole kitchen foggy. So the question is, if these remedies felt good and sometimes worked, why do we need modern science at all? And does science really deny ancient wisdom, or does it help us figure out what still works for the world we live in today? All right, let's step out of our grandmom's kitchen and explore. What exactly did our ancestors get right? Why do so many of these old practices feel comforting, grounding, or even healing? One of the biggest strengths of traditional health wisdom is that it wasn't invented overnight. It grew slowly through observation, trial, error, reflection, and a whole lot of lived experience. Communities watched what worked, what didn't, and what seemed to help most people most of the time. And when the same remedy got passed from grandmother to mother to child for generations, it wasn't just a recipe, it was community-tested data. Not on modern, randomized controlled trial data, but still real human experience woven into tradition. And we see this all around the world. In the Andean regions of Peru and Bolivia, traditional health practices are often deeply aligned with their local beliefs about diet, balance, and harmony with nature. People trust those practices because they match their understanding of the world and their bodies. In Uganda, traditional healers aren't just respected, they're often the first line of care. They live in the same community, speak the same language, and understand the spiritual and social context of illness in ways that formal health systems sometimes struggle with. Then there is accessibility. When something grows in your backyard, or you already have it in your kitchen, or the healer lives down the road, that's healthcare that's local, familiar, and affordable. Many families around the world turn to herbal teas, balms, and spices, not because they reject modern medicine, but because these options are right there, simple, inexpensive, and woven into daily life. Another wonderful strength of ancient wisdom is how holistic it is. These systems didn't separate the mind, the body, the environment, and the community. Everything was connected. Healing wasn't just take this pill. It was rest more, eat warm foods, involve your family, rebalance your routine. Many wellness approaches today actually try to echo this beautifully. Our well-being is tied to our social world and our natural world, not just our bodies. Times when we find modern science insufficient, it is because it tends to break problems into parts so we can study them. Ancient wisdom, however, tends to look at the whole picture. Honestly, we need them both. And we can't forget that traditional knowledge has directly given us some of our most important modern medicines. Willow bark tea, used for centuries for pain and fever, eventually led scientists to isolate salicylic acid, what we now know as aspirin. Artemisinin, a life-saving malaria drug that also won a Nobel Prize, came from sweet wormwood, a plant used in Chinese medicine for thousands of years. These aren't small things. They are reminders that traditional knowledge can be brilliant, insightful, even revolutionary once we understand how to use it safely and consistently. But beyond the chemistry and the plant compounds, there's something else ancient wisdom gives us. Ritual, comfort, and care. When someone we love makes us that cup of warm turmeric milk or their ginger honey mix, it's not just biochemistry happening, it's psychology, it's connection. And that alone can soothe us, slow us down, and help us heal, because feeling cared for is its own kind of medicine. So yes, ancient wisdom taught us some beautiful things: accessibility, cultural fit, holistic care, emotional support, and even the foundation for many modern drugs. There's a whole lot that we can be grateful for. However, when we put down modern science in favor of ancient wisdom, that's where we sometimes misunderstand the past and how our nostalgia can trick us a little when we compare ancient health with modern health. So let's keep walking together into the next layer of this conversation. Because while our traditions gave us comfort, culture, and some real gems, there are also places where our understanding of the past gets a little fuzzy, or maybe a little too rosy. One big place where we get tripped up is something called as survival bias. Among the many biases that we learned about in the last episode, we didn't talk about this one. So, what survival bias means is that the only stories we hear about old remedies are from people who lived long enough to tell us. We don't hear about the stories from those who didn't make it, or from times when diseases had no effective treatments. Across many traditional systems, from the Andes to Asia, we see that people often relied on what they had, but that didn't mean those options always worked. The successes survived, the failures didn't get passed on. And that leads us to the next misunderstanding, the idea that our ancestors lived longer or healthier lives simply because they used natural remedies or lived closer to nature. It's a beautiful idea, and we all want to believe that life was simpler, cleaner, and calmer. But the truth is that average life expectancy, even in the last century, was much lower. Infectious diseases were major threats. Childbirth was dangerous. Simple injuries could lead to lifelong disability. Ancient remedies existed, yes, but so did very real limits to what those remedies could do. Yes, traditional practices in many places are caring and culturally aligned, but they aren't standardized or always safe. We also see in research that some practices unintentionally delayed people from getting care that could have saved their lives. For example, in my dental practice, I had patients come to me at a time when their tooth can no longer be saved because they wasted their time with traditional healers. This is not to say that people don't care about their health. This is unfortunately how our health systems are built, disjointed and inaccessible. Another area where we romanticize the past is in thinking the world back then looks anything like the world today. Oh, if only. But today, our bodies live in an environment that our ancestors simply did not have to deal with. We are navigating air pollution, microplastics, industrial chemicals, new allergens, new infectious diseases, processed foods, endocrine disruptors, climate stress, and a level of chronic mental pressure that traditional systems couldn't have predicted. That homemade spice mix that her grandma made, it was created for bodies that walked long distances, ate whole foods, lived in tightly knit communities, had less chemical exposure, and encountered a completely different medical landscape. So when we ask ancient remedies to perform the same way today, we are actually asking them to solve problems that they were never ever designed for. And let's also talk about safety. Most traditional practices are safe or low risk. Teas, spices, baths, steam, warm foods. But historically, not everything was harmless. Across regions, we see examples of remedies that caused side effects or treatments that weren't consistent from one healer to the next. Without standard training or quality checks, some practices, even well-intentioned ones, could be unpredictable. And in some cultural contexts, serious safety concerns were recorded, ranging from contaminated herbal preparations to harmful rituals. I don't know how many people were sacrificed to the rituals of warding off spirits when what they needed was mental health care. Old or traditional doesn't automatically mean safe or better. So when we put all of this together, we can have a more realistic picture. Our ancestors were wise, observant, resourceful, and deeply connected to their land and community. They made the best choices available to them. But they also lived shorter lives, faced dangers we no longer face, and practiced medicine in a world that looked nothing like the one we inhabit today. Sitting with this helps us see why today's science tries so hard to test things in modern conditions. We are not rejecting the past. We are trying to build a bridge between what worked then and what we need now. Next, let's step into the next room of this conversation. What modern science actually adds, and why is it a safer bet than traditional healing? If ancient wisdom was the cozy kitchen of healing, modern science is the giant, well-lit lab where we get to ask, okay, does this really work? How does it work? And will it still work for all of us today? One of the superpowers modern science brings is testing under controlled conditions. Instead of guessing whether something helped, we can measure it. We can compare groups. We can track outcomes. We can see if something works consistently, and not just in one person or one community, but across hundreds or thousands of people who are living very different lives. This leads us to another huge strength, figuring out the right dose, the right timing, and the right way to use something safely. Ancient remedies often relied on experience, which is valuable, but it didn't always have a way to check for toxicity, interactions with other herbs, or interaction with medications that didn't even exist back then. Science helps us find that sweet spot between a helpful amount and a little too much. Today, before we do an observational study, we can first do controlled lab experiments and randomized controlled trials to minimize any potential risks from the treatment. Then there's the magic of separating correlation from causation. Just because two things happen together doesn't mean one caused the other. Ancient systems often relied on patterns and observations. Modern science lets us ask deeper questions. Was it really the herb that helped us, or was it resting? Was it the spice mix, or the fact that illness was going to resolve anyway? Was it the ritual or the remedy? When we understand the why, we can make better choices, and we can also avoid harm. Another gift that modern public health brings is scalability. We can study if something that helps one person or one community, is it safe and effective for millions? Modern health systems showed that when we create standardized, evidence-based approaches, we can scale them across regions, countries, and even continents. That's how we get vaccines to millions, how we reduce infant mortality, how we manage outbreaks, and how we help entire populations live longer, healthier lives. Science also brings innovation and cultural adaptation so that the new intervention can be used across the globe. And public health doesn't just bring the tools, it brings trained people. Modern practitioners go through years of education, supervised training, ethical rules, and accountability systems. That doesn't make them perfect, but it does give us safeguards. It gives us a structure where we can say if something goes wrong, we can review it, fix it, and prevent it in the future. Many traditional systems didn't have those formal protections because those systems were built differently. Another huge strength is real-time monitoring. Today, we can track side effects, patterns, outbreaks, and long-term outcomes across huge populations. We can evaluate risks as they emerge. We can adjust recommendations when new evidence comes in. Ancient wisdom grew slowly. Science has ability to adapt faster. And perhaps one of the most important strengths of modern science is that it's designed for the world we live in today. A world with processed foods, pollution, chronic diseases, urban stress, new infections, and global travel. Old remedies were never tested in this kind of environment, but modern science is. So when we think about ancient wisdom and modern science, it isn't a competition. It's more like a partnership. Up next, let's put out all this together and see how we can honor our traditions while also staying grounded in evidence so that we can be our healthier selves. One big place we get tangled is the idea that natural automatically equals safe. We hear herbal, plant-based, ancient, and automatically consider it healthy and safe. But nature can be powerful in both directions. Some of the most toxic substances known to humans come straight from plants. Those everyday herbs marketed to us as natural, holistic cures can strain the liver in large amounts or interact in ways we don't expect. The next sticky bit about ancient wisdom is the lack of standardization. One grandmother's recipe might have 10 mint leaves, another might have a whole handful, and both swear theirs is the only correct way. But in the world of chemistry, that difference could be enormous in long term. Even a single plant varies in strength based on soil, rainfall, and season. So while our hearts hold on to tradition, our bodies are dealing with dose response curves. Another place we slip is when we use home remedies for things that actually need medical evaluation. Not because the remedy is bad, but because delay can turn a small health issue into a crisis. We see this pattern across countries. When we don't feel understood in a health system, many of us turn to comfort of tradition first. But it's also risky for things like infections, childbirth complications, or chronic conditions. With social media, we have influencers selling ancient wisdom as if everything old must be superior. Suddenly, turmeric becomes a supplement in mega doses, and people land in clinics with liver issues. Not because turmeric is bad, but because the dose is out of proportion to what traditional kitchens ever intended. That's a modern invention wearing ancient clothing. So where does that leave us? What is the right thing for us to do today? A helpful way forward is what many public health folks call the evidence-informed approach. Basically, we keep the comfort, the ritual, the wisdom, and we add just enough science to protect ourselves. It's like updating grandma's recipe without losing its soul. We can think through questions like, has this remedy ever been tested? Is it safe for my specific condition? Could it interact with anything else that I'm taking? And my favorite, is it designed for a world like ours? Most of the time, tradition shines brightest when we use it as supportive care. Teas, soups, spices, rituals that soothe us and connect us to our communities. While science steps in for parts that require precision, safety checks, or timely intervention. So as we close today, I hope you're walking away with an understanding that science isn't here to fight ancient wisdom. It's not an enemy. It's more like a curious friend who keeps asking, how do we make this safer? How do we make this work for all of us today? sometimes our traditions turn out to be beautifully aligned with what research finds. And sometimes science helps us discover that a beloved practice isn't as safe or effective as we once believed. Not to tear anything down, but to protect us, especially in a world that looks nothing like the world those traditions were born in. Thank you for spending this time with me, for exploring with me, and for being a part of this little community where we learn, question, and grow with honesty and care. If today's episode helped you understand this ancient wisdom versus science debate a little differently, share it with someone who might enjoy it too. And if you have a second, please give Health Savvy You a little boost with your likes and reviews. It helps us reach more people who are trying to make sense of health in this noisy world. In our next episode, we will wrap up this whole module with something practical, a clear list of everyday habits and ways of thinking that helps us stay safe, informed, and grounded in a world where scientific guidance is constantly questioned. I'll bring that to you in 2 weeks. Until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.
Thank you for tuning into Health Savvy You. I hope today's episode brought you one step closer to feeling confident, curious, and in control of your health. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone you care about. Keep learning and remember, health literacy is for everyone, including you. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I have got more great conversations coming your way. See you next time, and until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.